Numbers are telling the story today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the Morning Open, a look at the economy as we start the trading day. Let's dive right in. Where's Wall Street? Numbers are up right now. The S&P up about a quarter of a percent. The NASDAQ up about a tenth of a percent. Same for the Dow, up 16 points at 98.05. Europe's mixed right now, but basically flat. In Asia, shares were mostly higher today, about 1 to 2%. Seems today economic news has been the center of attention. We got word the Case-Shiller survey shows U.S. home prices edged up about 1.5% in July from the month before. The Conference Board releases consumer confidence data in a little more than an hour. Julie Niemann is analyst at Smith Moore & Company. She's with us live from St. Louis this morning. Hi, Julie.
Morning, Steve.
So 18 of 20 metro areas showed increases in average home prices month to month. That sounds like good news. Is it really good news?
Well, bring out the hats and horns, you know, because we're looking at an annual decline now of only 13% instead of 14%. Mm. We're still in negative territory, but we're looking at a three-year plunge in housing, stabilizing, basically. Now, prices are back to where they were in 2003, and that's normal. They're not undervalued. And, of course, you got to put in the caveats here. The stimulus is going away. The $8,000 stimulus is going away in November. Unemployment's still rising, which leads to delinquencies, which leads to foreclosures, which will put pressure on prices.
That's the 8,000 first-time homebuyers stimulus, right? Yeah.
Right, and they're unlikely to renew it at this point. Further fiscal stimulus, Congress is really not in the mood for it.
Yeah, and here we are with earnings season again, right? The first of the month just coming up, and we heard from Walgreens, the drugstore company, said profit was better than expected. How do you think earnings will treat this bullish Wall Street, Julie?
Well, Walgreens is a real good bellwether here. How did they get there? Basically, it was increase in pharmacy. We know what that's coming down the line. They changed their product mix. Not so much of the stuff as seen on TV, but the necessities, milk, soup, bread, eggs, and that kind of thing. You're going to see increases in earnings for companies that are basically going with the product mix, selling what people need right now.
Yeah.
And, of course, they're cost-cutting because of layoffs. So consider the source. This is good news in that they're controlling costs, but this is hardly a run for the roses in terms of top-line earnings growth.
All right. Julie Niemann joining us from St. Louis. Julie, thanks.
You bet.
New numbers out today from the International Air Transport Association say things are looking up for the airline industry, just not enough. Marketplace's Elisa Roth is live in our New York bureau. Good morning, Elisa.
Good morning.
Business looking up. What does it mean?
Well, it means that more people flew in August than they did in July, but it's still a lot fewer people than were flying at this time a year ago.
And what have airlines been doing to deal with the problem?
Well, the thing is, it costs the same to fly a plane if it's totally full or totally empty. So what the domestic airlines started doing about a year ago is just flying fewer planes. So the planes that are flying are much fuller. Now, I talked to an analyst this morning who said that can actually be a really good thing for passengers because there's less congestion. You're more likely to get your bags back quickly. The flip side is that if a flight is canceled because of something like weather or mechanical trouble, then it can be really hard to find another flight because they're all completely booked.
All right. And, you know, we talk about the holidays and weather and all that. You know, do we start looking ahead to holiday season, Thanksgiving, Christmas, quickly?
Absolutely. Flights are going to be very full over the holidays. Fares are going to be going up. You should probably buy right now and probably plan to arrive at least a day before you need to be someplace.
All right. Marketplace's Elisa Roth. She was another girl who inspired a song. Lucy Vodden went to school with John Lennon's son. One day, four-year-old Julian came home and showed Dad a picture, calling it Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. At the time, Lennon was working on one of the best-selling albums of all time, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. The rest is musical history. Lucy Vodden died a few days ago after a long bout with lupus. She was 46 years old.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SunGard. 7 million K-12 students are enrolled in school districts that use software from SunGard Public Sector. More information at sunguard.com. And by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 436 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Chicago Cubs open their final homestand of the regular season today at Wrigley Field. But as anyone in Wrigleyville knows, there's plenty of action outside the stadium as well. Chicago Public Radio's Adrian Hill reports an effort to simmer down some of the pregame craziness is starting with street vendors.
Wrigley Field is right in the middle of Chicago, and it can be raucous at game time. There are ticket scalpers and guys selling peanuts.
Peanuts, keep on the outside. Peanuts.
You can get an official program for $5 or a less official scorecard.
Scorecard, $1.
And there are street vendors selling T-shirts, some of which have slogans that are nowhere near polite. There's one with a silhouette of a man in a sombrero-like hat pushing a lawnmower. It says, Pujols mows my lawn, a reference to Albert Pujols, the Dominican first baseman, who plays for Cubs' arch enemy, the St. Louis Cardinals.
The people love our shirts. They crack out sometimes. They say it's a little racist, but we're having fun. It's like, you know, it's a laughter. We don't really hate them, but it's like a sport thing.
That's street vendor Charles Utzler. Earlier this year, a city official proposed a rule that would move guys like Utzler and their T-shirts away from Wrigley Field during game time, citing issues of safety and crowd control. Utzler doesn't buy it.
At the end, it comes down to the almighty dollar, you know? So they're trying to push us out. We're like an insect they want to step on.
Utzler thinks the Cubs and the brick-and-mortar stores who sell licensed Cubbies gear don't want to share fans' money with street vendors. Not so, says Jake O'Neill, who works at one of those stores. He says the street vendors sell a totally different product. There's not much overlap in their customers.
There's just a market for those type of shirts, and then there's people who want the authentic stuff, so I don't think it's a huge competition.
But there is a lot of money up for grabs here. Victor Matheson is a sports economist at College of the Holy Cross. He says the Cubs make about $50 million in annual revenue inside the stadium on things like food and souvenirs, and they're losing out.
A typical modern stadium is a walled fortress surrounded by a big moat of parking lots, which serves to drive all the economic activity inside the stadium and away from the local neighborhoods. Of course, at a place like Wrigley Field that's built right into the neighborhood, that's very, very hard to do. And so the Cubs lose a great deal of their revenue to the surrounding neighborhood.
But Matheson says the Cubs have to be careful not to drive away some of what makes Wrigley special, which for many fans includes all the hubbub. From Chicago, I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.